Say good morning again to each and every one of you here this morning. Bring you greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is good to be together here today and to come together to serve the Lord and to worship together. And yeah, it's just, I don't know, our new believers class, the lesson this morning was on worship and Christian fellowship. And you know, we take it for granted. Would we be here if we faced persecution and we had to meet at 4 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night so that we weren't noticed? You know, or are we here because it's just what we should do and normally do or supposed to do on a Sunday morning? Or are we here because we really love the Lord and we're here to worship and give back and to receive encouragement from that? It's just a thought that I was thinking about. Well, this morning for a message, I felt led to bring the message on trust. As we think of faith and trust, what do we have our trust in? How do we keep our faith in the midst of hard times? There's a lot of things that happened in the past week that I was wondering what the Lord would have for us this morning, where we would go, and yeah, a lot of trying times and just walking through my mom with several things this week. Yeah, just thinking about, and this ain't really what brought me to this message, but thinking about cleaning out her house. She's okay with it, but she's got a lot of questions. And you know, Lois and I were up there the other evening and we were getting some of her financial stuff that she wanted us to get out before the rest of the family came. And we were there and it's like, is this just what life's all about? You know, you get to the end of life and somebody comes and cleans your stuff out and does with it whatever. And it just, some of that's a little bit sad. But anyway, that's a different story for maybe another day. But thinking about keeping our faith and trust in the Lord, how do we do that in the midst of hard times? This week, as I was saying, I was thinking about our walk with God and walking in truth. So thinking about that, you know, how much faith and trust do we need to have in God to remain faithful in the midst of the hard times? God allows each one of us to make choices in our daily lives, and it's in those choices sometimes that we face the unknown. You know, we don't know. We pray for wisdom. We pray for guidance. We pray that God would give us direction. We kind of make plans for our day, but there's times that our day turns out completely different. Let me back up. Many times our day turns out completely different than what we anticipated. But it's in the midst of that. Do we lash out at the struggles we had? Do we lash out at God at times? Or do we continue to keep our faith and trust in God in the midst of the unknown? Thinking about facing the unknown, have you ever been afraid of something, afraid of the dark? I think I shared this before, but when I was a little boy, I hated the dark. And I think I've shared this story before, but our mailbox, for those of you that know where we live, isn't that far from the house. It's maybe, I don't even know if it's 100 feet. It might be, but I know it's probably not, 50, 80 feet. And there was a couple times where we forgot to either get the mail or the paper, and my dad or mom told me that I should go out and get it. This was probably more in the wintertime because it would get dark earlier, so I would turn the front porch light on, and it would only shine maybe within 20 feet of where the mailbox was. So the last 20 feet, I would beeline it as fast as I could and grab whatever I was getting and turn around and beeline it back, and I was sure somebody was going to grab me in that last 20 feet somewhere along the way, but it never happened. It was, yeah, a lot of things, but we all have had fears of one thing or another. I asked my wife if I could share this story. She's giving me a funny look right now, but she told me I could. So the other morning we were sitting there at the breakfast table and all of a sudden she jumps up and lets out some for noise and she's going to the other side of the kitchen, and she couldn't get her words out fast enough, but she hates spiders. There was a spider coming across the kitchen floor and she was declaring it was 2 inches high, and I said, no, it was about a half. It was a big spider. I'm not going to downplay that at all, but by saying all of that, there's something that all of us fear. Spiders don't faze me in a bit. I'm not afraid of mice, but mice and rats give me the creeps way quicker than a spider ever would. Not that I'm really scared of them. Where she would probably pet a mice if she had a mouse if she had a chance, but she can't stand spiders. Anyway, now maybe I'm getting too open here. But anyhow. By saying all of that, we all have a fear of something. Some of us have a fear of darkness, some of us have a fear of spiders, mice, certain things, and that's okay. That's not all bad. But sometimes we're afraid of the future. Sometimes we're scared of what we're going to face in the future. Sometimes there's something in the past that we're still struggling with. Sometimes we're not even sure what we're afraid of, but there's something that just gives us fear, that grips us. It's a little story, and I think I've used this illustration many years ago as well, but there's a 5-year-old boy named Johnny was in the kitchen, and his mother made supper. She asked him to go into the pantry to get her a can of tomato soup, but he didn't want to go. He said, "It's dark in there, and I'm scared." She asked again, and he persisted. Finally, she said, "It's okay. Jesus will be with you." Johnny walked hesitantly to the door and slowly opened it. He peeked inside and saw it was dark and he started to leave, but then all at once an idea popped into his mind. And he said, "Jesus, if you're really in there, would you hand me that can of tomato soup?" And that's kind of humorous and kind of thinking a little bit, but you know, Jesus is really with us all the times. He has promised us that the Holy Spirit is with us. That don't mean that we still won't have fears. That don't mean we still won't have phobias of something. That don't mean we still won't have trying times. But it makes those times a lot easier to face. It makes those times a lot easier to go through, knowing that there is somebody there giving us comfort and giving us strength. Several years ago, it was about 13 years ago now, I guess, we had the one main barn fire, and 18 months later, we had another shed fire. It was about a year after that, about 3 o'clock in the morning, our smoke alarms went off in the house, and I was dead sleeping, and I came up out of bed, and the first thing out of my mouth was, "Please, Lord, not the house yet." And I'm so thankful it wasn't. We had a smoke alarm that we had, their skull connected together, and a smoke alarm in the laundry room malfunctioned because they thought maybe the dirt and lint had got in it and it made him go off. And, you know, it was just that fear that went through me instantly when they went off, you know, of what we had faced before. And now, yeah, if it was the house, that would have been horrifying. And some of you here have had that experience. And there are some of us that are a part of our church have had in the past before too. Thinking about trusting in the Lord, a couple verses here in the opening before we get to our main text. Psalm 84, verses 10 to 12, it says, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." There we have kind of the idea that Psalmist David is laying out, the idea that he'd rather be spend a day in a court, you know, be with the Lord, than 1,000 days anywhere else. In other words, not serving the Lord. The Lord is there. The Lord is protecting us. And you know, there's a lot of questions that could arise from some of that, and I don't want to dwell here too long, but you know, why are some people martyred for their faith if we believe what that verse says? But yet, as we think about some of that, even whenever we do go through, or people that do go through those times, they still win in the end. They've reached heaven. They've gotten the goal. They're living with their Savior now. So even for us today, as we go through intense trials or intense struggles at times, or maybe it's a health issue, maybe it's a loved one, maybe, you know, there's a lot of things we could think about. That song often comes to my mind when I face hard times. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. You know, life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase someday when we see Christ. So if we keep that in mind with a lot of the things that we are going through. Continuing on here in the opening, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. I can quote these, but usually if I try to without looking at them up here, I jumble them up. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Sometimes some of the unknowns can look like giants to us. What do we do in some of the most trying times of life? This morning we want to look at the main text we're going to look at is the account of David and Goliath, a time when David faced a giant in his life, a physical giant, something that probably would have made most of us shudder and run, so to speak. We want to look at that and try to draw some things and principles and applications we can make for our lives today. If you'll turn with me this time, we're going to be reading 1 Samuel 17, verses 32 to 50. Kind of jumping in the middle of the story here. We'll look at parts of the other story, but for sake of time, I won't read the whole chapter. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 through 50. And David said unto Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, a man of any, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant shall... Let me start verse 34 over again. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and he smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, or the word ruddy there is small-featured or short, small for, you know, he wasn't a very big person, and of a fair countenance. Verse 43, And the Philistine said unto him, David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistines, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, and David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face on the earth, to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. I'll stop reading there. I want to look at 3 different parts this morning. The first part is the discouraging situation. As I said before, for sake of time, we're not going to read the whole story, but we need to talk briefly about the story to get the whole thought or the whole what they're facing here. You know, in the first part of the chapter, we know that the Philistines and the Israelites had come together for battle. They were at odds with each other. They were camping on opposite sides of the Valley of Elah, it says. And in those days, it was not uncommon for two armies to come together and for them to send out one of their best warriors or their best fighters to fight one-on-one. And whoever was the winner of that battle would be the one that won the war or the battle. And that's what they were doing here, or the Philistines were trying to do. They were sending David out each day, Goliath out each day, challenging somebody from the Israelites to come forward and fight with him so that they could have this battle. We know that everybody, of course, obviously from a human standpoint or from our own thinking, that they were scared to death because Goliath, it says, I think it was 6 cubits in a span, which would end up being somewhere between 9 and 10 foot tall. So you see this man, this giant coming, and somewhere I think it's his armor, I think somewhere I've seen, would weigh approximately 125 pounds. So his armor probably weighed about almost as much as David did, his armor alone. So you imagine how big of a man this would have to be to carry that type of armor on him. The Israelites had seen this man every morning and evening. It says there in that first part of the story, he came out in the morning and evening of every day and challenging them. And I think it says, I read back over part of the story, but I think I have it all right. For 40 days, he came out and challenged them twice a day. I want to read the part here back in verse 11. In 1 Samuel 17, where the Saul and the Israelites, you could say, were scared to death. It says, "And Saul and all the Israel heard these words of the Philistine, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid." In other words, they were, you could put it in plain language, and makes us understand it as is. They were scared to death, and rightly so, because this big man was coming out. This was a discouraging situation. How long were they allowed to wait? How long could they take this constant humiliation? They were living in fear, and they were basically just buying time into enjoying their freedom until they were forced to fight of a different avenue. Did you ever notice how many stories in the Bible have a discouraging situation in them? You know, we know the whole story, we know, but imagine here, if you were there when this was taking place, it would have been very discouraging, it would have been very, and there's many stories in Scripture like that, but I believe it's in the midst of that that makes it interesting, because of the discouraging situation, we get to see the miracle that comes out of that, the way that God worked, the way that God moved, the way that God did things for protection and was with them. Another thing I thought about is none of us like hardships. None of us like trials or discouragements. You know, I've said this many, many times. We all wish life would be easy, but I'm convinced if life was all easy, we would lose our faith and trust in God. You know, if we had all the money we needed, if we had all everything we needed at our fingertips, if everything was just, we never had any health problems, nothing ever went bad, everything was just perfect, so to speak, would we really need God? Would we keep our faith and trust in God the way we know that we need to? And I believe it's those trying times in life that continues to help us build our faith and trust in God. And ultimately, it builds our Christian character. It builds who we are in God. It builds us, it gives us the stamina to stay faithful, to stay encouraged in our walk with God. Sometimes in life, we find ourselves with giants in front of us. Maybe not a 9 or 10 foot tall person, but there's other things that can seem taller than that. You know, when you hear some devastating news about a loved one, you know, sometimes we use the term, our world comes crashing down. There's a giant that we're facing that we don't understand. But we always need to remember that in those, every discouraging situation is an opportunity for the power of God to be revealed in our lives. Couple verses thinking about what we need to do or what we can have in our lives to remain encouraged when we face difficult times. In Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, it says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." There's a couple things we see in that verse. God is the one that gives us help. We need to lift our eyes, or we need to depend on Him. We need to call out to Him. And then verse 2, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." The title of this psalm in my Bible is Safety of the Godly Who Trust in God. I will lift up mine eyes, from whence cometh my help. I will continue to trust in the Lord. I will, you know, another thing I think about when I read that verse many times, if we are lifting up our eyes and keeping them focused on God, a lot of the things in life and down here on earth become more dim. They don't, you know, they take on less meaning. Yeah, there's times we face hard times where we just wonder, what is really going on? Why are we facing this? I was just talking to a brother recently that had a couple weeks. He said he just felt like he was getting tried in a certain area. And he finally, he realized what it was coming from. He realized what was happening. He prayed and asked God for strength and courage to remain faithful and to be free from that temptation. And it instantly left. And he wasn't struggling with that for quite a while after that. And I think that gives us the encouragement and helps us to realize that as we focus on God, as we, yeah, maybe don't make the situation we're facing a lot different, but it helps it to become more bearable. It helps it to become more, our focus, it takes our focus off of ourselves and helps us to focus on what the real goal of life is, of serving the Lord and being in heaven with Him someday. But moving on to part two, we want to look at his lack of support. As we continue to look at the account here, we see, and here again, what I'm going to talk about in this section is before our main text. We near the account where Jesse had sent his son David to check up on his brothers. They had been away for a time, and Jesse was kind of wondering about or how they were doing. And he takes some food to his brothers and to check on them to see how they were doing. And as David went and found his brothers, and they were talking, is when they were interrupted by the Goliath at this one time. And we see that in verse 23 and 24. And as he was talking with them, as David was talking with his brothers, there came out the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, for they were sore afraid. We see that Goliath had came out again and challenged them, and they were really afraid and went and hid. But we see David was shocked by this blasphemy and starts asking who this giant is. You know, let's look at the picture here just a little bit. David, from what we understand of Scripture, when David was chosen to be the king, we know that Nathan? I think it was Nathan was sent to choose the next king from the household of Jesse, but God didn't tell him which one of them it was. So he went from the oldest to the youngest. I think the account in Scripture, and here again, I'm just pulling all this from memory. When he got down to David, he was thinking, well, certainly it can't be him. He's just this little guy, young and little. What I'm trying to get at is David and all of his brothers was the smallest in the family from what we know in Scripture. But here we see David. He didn't look at this man as a giant and think, oh my goodness, this is just going to be too much. But no, he looked at how he was blaspheming God, and he said, I think that's in verse 26. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He stepped back and looked at the situation for what it was. He didn't look at it for what, when I say what it was, what the underlying current that was happening in the situation. He didn't look at it for the reality from a human standpoint that this was a big man and he was a little man. He looked at it as he was against God and his kingdom. You can almost sense David's righteous indignation rising up when he said, who is this man that should defy the armies of the living God? We see that you kind of get the feeling that David was ready to go then and to take this man out, to face him, to stand up to him. But we see that David faced some resistance from his brothers and others around him. Here again, we see that his brothers pretty much were telling him, there's no way. You need to go back home. You need to go back to dad and take care of the sheep. You don't worry about what's happening here. You're not, and here again, I'm maybe paraphrasing or adding a little bit here, but I think this is some of what's being said here. You're not trained in war. You've never fought in battle. You really don't know what you're doing here. You came here to check up on us. Now it's time for you to go back home. But no, he didn't let that bother him as well. He faced some resistance from his brothers. And he could have become discouraged and said, yeah, you're right. I'm just a little guy. I don't know how to fight. I don't know anything about this. I'm just going to go home. But then we get to Saul, and even Saul tried to discourage him. And that is in our text, I believe, in verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight him. For thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. In other words, here again, that same thought or that same idea. You have not been trained in war. You're just a young teenage boy. You've not been trained in war. This man has been taught in battle ever since he was a youth, it says, from there on up. But we see that didn't let David stop him either. It's almost like David's thought process and even some of the things he's saying, it's almost like he's thinking or saying, you just don't get it. And we'll maybe look at some of that a little bit more later. When we face giants in our lives or discouraging situations, we need to remember that the battle is the Lord's. You know, there's many things we are facing and none of us get it all right. None of us are perfect on this side of heaven. We strive for perfection, but we're never going to get it all right. But we need to remember that the battle that we are facing in is the Lord's. He is the one that wrote, here in the New Testament, here again, this was Old Testament, we're in the New Testament covenant now, or the New Covenant. Jesus is the one that won the victory when he rose from the cross, and we know that he will never be defeated by Satan and death and hell. And if we continue to keep our faith and trust in him, we won't be either. We cannot do it on our own strength, but God will do it with his strength. Part three we want to look at is discovering strength. Did you ever think about that there are times in life when we find ourselves in discouraging situations? And in those times, sometimes we don't have much support, whether it's from family or friends. There are times that we struggle with where we are at, what we are facing. But as we place our focus on God, we discover that he gives us the strength we need to continue on. And that, I believe, is what we see David doing here. He's continued to keep his faith in the Lord. He's saying, this man is defying God. This man is defying the armies of the living God. He is defying God. There's no way that he can stand against the power of God. Looking a little bit more here at our story, in verses 34 through 37, we see David telling Saul how God delivered him. In verse 37, he talks about being delivered from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. I don't know about each one of you, but if I've ever faced, I've never done it, but if I ever would face a lion and a bear, I'm pretty sure I'd be looking for a tree or so, somewhere to hide in. I wouldn't be looking to grab him by the beard and cut his head off for sure. But we see that David, that's the power and the strength that God gave David to do. And he was saying, when he was telling Saul this, he was saying, God gave me the strength that I needed in those moments, and I'm sure he will do it now. He was saying, basically he was saying, I have my faith and trust in God is so strong that he will give me the power that I need to remain faithful. And then we see Saul there at the end of verse 37 telling David to go and the Lord be with thee. But then we see Saul again trying to back up and look at different power or different protection other than God in verse 38, where he wanted to gird David with his sword and with his armor. We see that David put them on. Let me back up. Saul was placing his security in armor and skill instead of the power of God. But we see David put them on, and you almost get the picture. I can almost see it in my mind where he put this on, and he's kind of looking around and thinking, man, this is just a joke. I've never had these on before. There's no way I can go in this. And Saul was looking at it, you've got to do this, or there's no way you even have a standing chance. But David's saying, there's no way I can wear these. I've never tried them on before. I've never proved them, as it says in Scripture. It's almost like you get the idea that he's saying, I've never wore anything like this, and if anything, they're going to be more of a hindrance to me than a help. But then in verse 40, well, then we see Saul again telling him to go ahead and go. We see verse 40 where David toes, and he takes his staff, and he chooses 5 smooth stones out of the brook and puts them in the shepherd bag. You know, I thought a little bit about it here. We don't have any account of this, but I'm sure there's others that were around and witnessing what was taking place. Can you imagine the picture here just for a moment? His brothers, the others and the children of Israel from the army there. Here we see this, what all was taking place, where the interaction between his brothers telling him to go back home. We see Saul telling him there's no way you stand a chance before this man. And then we see Saul trying to give him his armor to put on, and David saying there's no way. And then we see David going out and choosing 5 smooth stones. And I thought, you know, you wonder what was going through the people's mind that was witnessing all of this. And, you know, we don't have any account of that, but I'm pretty sure from all of the other account, part of the account we have, you could be saying that this is going to be a joke. There's no way this man's going to stand up to him. There's no way that, or the Goliath is probably going to win. And imagine again the scene here. We have this 9 or 10 foot tall giant with all kinds of armor, approximately 125 pound. He has a sword. Most of the battles that he's went up against, he's won. It was a big man that just was taught to fight, and that was his main goal. Here we have a young shepherd boy who was short and small featured, with no armor, no protection, coming against each other. Thinking about what Goliath was thinking at that moment. He was probably thinking, this is probably going to be one of the easiest battles I've ever had. When you kind of get that thought just a little bit as he brings out the thought, is it in verse 30 or 43, where the Philistine said unto David, or Goliath said unto David, am I a dog? You know, are you really kidding me here? Am I a dog? What do you think I am here? That thou comest to me with a staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And then it's in verse 44 where he says, and David, or Philistine Goliath, was said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. You know, I don't know about each one of you here, but I'm pretty sure if I didn't shudder in my boots before in this account, I would have been right now when Goliath is challenging you. And what am I trying to get us to think about here? The things that look like mountains that makes us scared, the things that look like hardships that make us shudder or make us fear. God is faithful. God is there. Just the same God that was here for David, that gave him the strength to stand strong, is the same God that will help us in the midst of our hardships and battles. Yes, things look hard. Things look tough at times. Things, the hardships we face, the trials we go through, we wonder why sometimes. Yes, in the midst of them, that's all there. We can't deny that. But let's look at David's response right after Goliath says this in verses 45 through 47. I think I'm just going to take time to read all this again because it really brings it out. And David said unto the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hands, and I will smite thee, and I will take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with spear and sword. I need to start verse 47 over again. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. There's two phrases there in those verses that I read that we need to remember. Verse 45, it says, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. In other words, when we face a situation, when we face something that we don't understand, when we face hard things, when we face disappointment, when we face sorrow, we can come to in the name of the Lord and to remember that God is in control. But then the other phrase that we need to remember always and all the time is there in verse 47 at the end, for the battle is the Lord's. You know, we may not face a 9 or 10 foot tall giant in human perspective, but Satan tries to discourage us many times. Satan tries to trip us up. Satan tries to get us to come into sin. And it's in those moments that we can use these same words here, that the battle is the Lord, and I come in the name of the Lord. I have claimed God as Jesus as my Savior. The Holy Spirit is leading me and guiding and directing me. God is in control. He will give me the strength that I need to remain faithful. That thought that David used, that I come to you in the name of the Lord, for the battle is the Lord's. David's faith and trust did not waver, even when from a human standpoint, you would think it should have. If you're here this morning and you're facing a giant in your life, we need to realize one thing and remember this one thing, that God is bigger than the problems that you're facing or any problem that you have ever faced in the past, or bigger than any problem that we will ever face in the future. You may be sitting here thinking, well, why don't things turn out different sometimes? To be honest, I don't know. We don't understand everything we face in life. But that's where the trust comes into play. Thinking about David just a little bit, thinking about some of that. On his way to face Goliath, David stopped and picked up 5 smooth stones from a brook. But David faced Goliath with much more than that, his simple weapon of a sling and 5 stones. He defeated Goliath with power from God by the faith and trust that he had in God. thinking about why some things turn out differently than what we think. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In the New Testament, I can't think of which where it's found, but the verse talks about, "Now we see through a glass darkly, that someday we will see him face to face, and everything will all make sense." If you want to grow spiritually, if you want to make it through the next valley, you have to continue to find your strength in the Lord. You can't wait till you're in that valley to place your faith in the Lord. Our faith has to be in the Lord at all times. And it's in those valleys that it gets stronger. And we depend on that. As we begin to focus on Christ and His power and His might, all of a sudden, the difficulties and the giants in our life around us start to look smaller and smaller. Victory is found when you realize where your strength comes from. You know, as we think about, as we come to an ending here, come to conclusion, what does God really want us to do in life? You know, I think about some of this a lot of times. You know, in marriages, you know, God didn't design a marriage to put two people together and say, "Well, you're going to have a rough life the rest of your life. You're just going to have to deal with it." No, he designed marriage because we knew we needed each other. And what made me think about that? He didn't place us here and say, "You're going to just have to struggle through life. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tempting. There's going to be trials." But no, he's saying, "I love you. I want to be in heaven with you someday. I care about you." He wants us to live in the abundant life. Yes, there's going to be difficulties, but continue to trust in me. Stand strong, stand firm, remain faithful. Are we living in that abundant life this morning? And I'll be honest with you, I had some trying times this past week. We can't get around them. They're reality in life. But what we do with them makes all the difference in the world. A verse here in closing, thinking about some of that to kind of maybe tie it all together, in John 16:33, Jesus' own words. He says it like this: "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In other words, He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have that joy in our lives. "But in the world you shall have tribulation." There will be things we face. There will be hardship. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." If we keep our faith and trust in the Lord, we can remember that the world, Satan and death and hell, was defeated when Christ won the victory and rose from the grave. He died on the cross, and Satan thought he had done him in. But we know that 3 days later, he rose from the grave. The grave clothes were left lay. The stone was rolled away. We sing that song about him bursting forth from the grave. In that moment, Satan was defeated. And with that same power, we can remain faithful today. When we're in the hard times of life, may we always remember the phrase that David used here when he was up against Goliath, when he said, "For the battle is the Lord's." We don't have to fight our battles on our own. I remember Brother Ernie saying that many, many times. Don't try to fight your battles on your own strength. We don't have to fight our own battles. God is there, and He cares about each one of us. And He asks us to continue to keep our faith and trust in Him. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.